The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Ukraine has struck a military target inside Russia using US-made supersonic missiles, following permission from President Joe Biden to allow Ukraine to strike Russian territory with US-made weaponry. Russian President Vladimir Putin has now lowered the threshold for a nuclear strike on the West. To get the latest, we are joined by Emmanuel Chase, Ukraine correspondent for RFI and for France 24 in Kyiv. Emmanuel, good morning.
Good morning.
What do we know about the nature of the target that was hit by Ukraine? Because the Russians have said 6 missiles headed for their territory, 5 were taken down, and 1 had minor damage.
Well, usually what Ukraine would strike within Russian territory, that would be ammunition depots, concentrations of equipment, concentration of military personnel so as to inflict damage on those on the Russian side. And it's important also to notice that this is not the first time that Ukraine is striking within Russian territory. It is the first time, apparently, that it does so with those long-range missiles that are American missiles. But it's been since the beginning of the year that we've seen Ukraine using its own long-range drones to strike those facilities. Ammunition depots, also fuel depots of the Russian army, so as to try and slow down the delivery of those to the front line and thus weaken the Russian positions.
Now, when Ukraine has attacked Russian positions using its own drones, normally they provide video evidence because the drones are traveling at relatively low speed. They provide video evidence of what they have hit, and you often see video pictures of large explosions. In this case, the ATACMS, the Army Tactical Missile System missiles, are going at supersonic speeds, and they're well inside Russia. So any video evidence provided by Ukraine as to the damage inflicted on Russia?
So officially, Ukraine will not comment on such strikes. We saw it already when the first ATACMS missiles were used. It's not officially confirmed. Volodymyr Zelensky had said a few days ago that missiles will speak for themselves and that he would not comment as to where or when they would be used. There's an official anonymous sources, high-ranking officers who have confirmed the use of those missiles within Russian territory, but we are very unlikely to see the president or the defense minister officially commenting on which target they have hit with Western weaponry.
The question now is whether or not other weapon systems will be made available to Ukraine by Britain and France, for instance.
Absolutely. So Britain and France seem to have been open to discussing the use of their weaponry on Russian territory. The question is whether or not, for example, Germany would join. We know that Chancellor Olaf Scholz has been strongly against delivering Taurus missiles to Ukraine. And he said very recently that this position hadn't changed, regardless of the American position, regardless of the French and the Great Britain position. And what's interesting there is that yesterday, talking to the Ukrainian parliament, Volodymyr Zelensky reminded not only to parliamentaries, but also to the general public that Ukraine wasn't waiting for its allies to deliver those long-range weapons, which are an advantage for sure. But those are not the only weapons that are being used by Ukraine. And Ukraine doesn't need to have authorization to use its own weaponry. It has agency as to how to use their own drones. Volodymyr Zelensky also said yesterday that the goal for 2025 was to produce at least 30,000 long-range drones, so to strike those facilities we were talking about earlier, and also up to 3,000 missiles. We know that Ukraine is also trying to develop a long-range missile its own, so it wouldn't have to ask for any authorization from the West to use those deep inside Russian territory. So Ukraine, of course, has an advantage if its allies allow it to use Western weaponry because it's quicker. A missile will be quicker. A missile will have a strike capacity and an explosive charge much higher than a long-range drone. But also, Ukraine doesn't wait for those weapons to strike within Russian territory.
Now, something else that the U.S. has allowed Ukraine is the use of anti-personnel mines. And these are very specific. They are not the kind of mines that will lie around indefinitely for years and years, but have a short shelf life.
Absolutely. And this is a first. This also seems to be coming in light of Russia's advance in the eastern part of the country. So this transfer, of course, has been long subjected to debate because those are anti-personnel mines and there's a treaty which bans them. But the US and United States hadn't signed this treaty. So seemingly Joe Biden, like he did with the missiles, seems to try to give Ukraine as much as he can before leaving the presidency.
Now, the response from Vladimir Putin on two levels. One is a political declaration that is lowering the threshold under which Russia would actually deploy and use nuclear weapons. How is that viewed in Kyiv?
Well, you know, the population here is very aware of the threat that Russia is to Ukraine. There's been a war here against Ukraine for more than 10 years. Of course, this week is the 1,000 days of the full-scale invasion, but Ukrainians have been witnessing and have been the victims of the Russian aggression for way more than 1,000 days. And they've been accustomed, sadly, to the threats coming from Moscow. And even if from the outside, it can seem very threatening that Vladimir Putin would lower the threshold of use of nuclear power. This is not something that will worry Ukrainians more than what is already happening. Ukrainians are already living under the daily threats of missiles, drones attack. We've had 4 alerts since this night, since this morning. We had also this warning from the U.S. embassy that a significant large-scale attack might happen today. So Ukrainians are used to live on edge, are used to live under threat. And the nuclear threat is something that Vladimir Putin uses time and again to try and scare, to try and subjugate Ukrainians and force them into negotiating, into giving up. But this is just not what Ukrainians are ready to do.
Now, the Russians have been targeting the electricity grid and power generation really over the entire summer, but intensifying in recent weeks. The prospect of being without power, being cold and miserable in the forthcoming winter is a very daunting one for Ukrainians.
It is, but this is the third winter since the full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and every winter Ukrainians have proven to be very resilient. Now, we've had a large-scale attack over the weekend with 120 missiles, 90 drones, and the damage on energy infrastructure was quite important. And like you mentioned, this is not the first attack. It's the 10th large-scale attack on the energy grid, and it had already been damaged or destroyed up to 70% of its capacities before those strikes over the weekend. And just to give you an idea, now I'm in Kyiv, and you can hear all the generators roaring in the streets as soon as the sun sets. Some parts of the city are completely in the dark. People are walking in the streets with their phones, with the torch on, just so as not to fall. And you can really feel this sense of, okay, we're not even in the depths of the winter. How is it going to be in 4 weeks and in 2 months? But Ukrainians, like I said, they are unfortunately used to live under such threat, under harsh circumstances, and they are taking it one day at a time, really.
Now, the future brings with it Donald Trump in the United States White House. What is the political opinion in Ukraine of that prospect? Because he would appear to be no friend of Ukraine and equally not a particularly enthusiastic member of NATO.
Absolutely. It was quite interesting to witness the U.S. election results from Ukraine because Ukrainians have been also here quite pragmatic. They, like I said, they really take this war day by day, and it's still 2 months before Donald Trump gets to Washington and becomes president of the United States. And there are still some people here who have hope that he will bring this war to an end and who have hope that it's going to be a just end of this war, meaning that there will be no territorial concessions for Ukraine. Of course, this seems to be an unrealistic prospect if you look at what's happening on the front line right now, where Russia has an advantage. But even with the unpredictability of the personality of Donald Trump, even if most people he chose to surround himself with are known pro-Russians or against Ukraine, US aid to Ukraine, Ukrainians still hope for a favorable outcome because simply they don't have the energy or the mental capacity right now to focus on something else than survival.
When you look at the difference in power and size and wealth of Ukraine compared to Russia, you would imagine there can only be one outcome to this conflict, and that is that Ukraine, at the very least, will have to cede some territory to Russia. What is the political and public opinion about that prospect?
Well, you know, Vladimir Putin never called this a war. He said it was a special military operation. And he also said that he would take Kyiv in 3 days. We are 1,000 days after he tried to take Kyiv in 3 days, and Kyiv is still standing. And despite thousands of soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers who died on the front line defending their country, sometimes they are one against 10. Sometimes they are really outnumbered in men, in equipment, and they are still standing. So, of course, the issue doesn't look favorable now, but this is without counting with the Ukrainian resilience and also the fact that they are defending their country with their lives. And for Ukrainians, it is simply not possible to hear at this stage that all of this was for nothing, that they have lost their relatives, that they have lost their homes, that they have lost territories in this war of aggression, and that it would be over now because they are outnumbered, for example, on the front line, or because the situation doesn't look good right now. There's really a spirit, a fighting spirit, even if, of course, they are depressed about the situation as well, and they very well see that the issue doesn't look favorable to them right now. But it would be really doing a disservice to Ukrainians to not see also just how resilient they are and how they are ready to defend their country up until the end.
Emmanuel Shays, thank you very much for joining us. Emmanuel is Ukraine correspondent for RFI and for France 24.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.